So last year, the creators, or you might say the scribes in ISKCON scribes, they somehow came up, found out that we have been giving the wrong dates for Bahulastami and the appearance of Radha Kund. And there was another date they also found was wrong, was the appearance of Lalita Sakhi, which according to the regular calendar has been 2 days every year before the appearance of Srimati Radharani. But that is also wrong. So those two errors were supposed to be corrected this year in the calendar, but it wasn't. So according to today's calendar, today is Bahulastami, which really falls in the month of Chaitra, which means the month of March, April, like that. But since it's on the calendar, and we haven't celebrated this year in the right time, so we can celebrate it in the old way today. So those of you who know, of course, before the restrictive arrangement around the world has been employed, millions, not millions, but close to a million people sometimes would come to Radha Kund on the evening of Bahulastami, which would be this evening in India time, at midnight, and everybody would ceremoniously bathe in Radha Kund right at midnight. And it would, you couldn't see any water, all you could see was people. It would be so amazing. I have never been there during that time, but I was traveling with the devotees in Chaupati in the year 2000. And while we were traveling doing the Govardhan Parikram, we happened to run in contact with His Holiness Satchinandana Swami, who joined our Parikram. And then finally we wound up in Radha Kund. Now Maharaj had been living in the Vrindavan area for a few months. That was his regular thing. He would go to Vrindavan for a few months a year and do bhajan. So now, Jai Baladev Prabhu Ki. So Maharaj wanted to lead us in the bathing in Radha Kund. And so before he did that, he actually gave a lecture for about a half hour explaining how we should approach Srimati Radharani's bathing pond, which is very, very sacred and had been abused in the past before by devotees in the ISKCON society. Maharaj spoke very sweetly, very devotionally, but very practically in how we should approach these holy waters, which are non-different than Radharani, as it's explained in a few shastras, but it's also you find it in Nectar of Instruction. That the last two verses in Nectar Instruction glorify the highest and most devotional place on the planet, which is Radha Kund. There is no spiritual place as glorious as Srimati Radharani's bathing pond. So Maharaj had instructed us, and most of it was about the mood of developing prayer. So in that prayerful mood, with reciting various prayers, there was about 1,000 devotees who were on that parikram. We all entered into Radha Kund, and it was about 8 o'clock at night. So the air had gotten a little cool, and it was in the month of December. So it was a little chilly. But we didn't seem to be bothered by the coolness, because the water was also quite cold. The devotees went in, and we stayed in for about 15 to 20 minutes, offering our individual prayers to Srimati Radharani. And personally, I can say that after I had come out of the waters, I felt like I wasn't no longer on the planet anymore. Felt I had reached perfection. In other words, the consciousness that came with that, and it was by Maharaj's careful instructions on how to approach Radhakunda devotional mood. And that was important because many years before, when Srila Prabhupada brought his Western disciples to come to Radhakunda, they went in the Radhakunda, but when they got in, they start splashing around like kids in a swimming pool. And Prabhupada looked like Nisringadev when he was seeing Hiranyakashipu. So he immediately yelled to everyone, "Get out!" And the devotees immediately responded. And Prabhupada said, "From now on, you only go to the edge of Radhakunda, take 3 drops of water, that's equal to bath." So ever since that happened back in the 70s, none of the ISKCON devotees were going in Radhakunda. But it's always been a tradition to bathe in Radhakunda. But Prabhupada stopped it because of the offenses that the devotees were. But then again, we found that actually there is a way to enter Radhakunda in the right consciousness, the right mood, with prayer, with devotion. And so now, of course, devotees do enter into her waters, but we always have to be in that mood like that. So the pastime, or the story behind, really has to do with Krishna killing a particular demon, whose name is Arista. It is explained in, I forget what Shastra, Rupa Goswami writes that Kamsa every day was sending at least 2 demons to Vrindavan. Every day. Now the demons we hear about are some of the prominent ones, but Kamsa had a whole entourage of associates who were like him. See, if you read the Garga Samhita, in the Garga Samhita it is explained that Kamsa defeated all these demons in battle, and he subjugated them and made them his assistants and servants. So they became indebted to Kamsa. Rather than killing them, he just subdued them and then made them his demonic entourage. So he had this whole, large number of demons which he was sending. And Krishna would kill 1 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon on schedule. And Purnamasi, who is the expansion of Yogamaya, she actually is Yogamaya. She's an elderly lady who conducts the affairs of the spiritual world, especially Vrindavan. She was making sure these demons come just before it was time for Krishna to have prasadam. Because Krishna didn't really like to waste time eating, he liked to play. Sometimes you see that kids, they don't want to eat, they just want to play all the time. Sometimes mothers have a problem with that. So, Yasoda was always calling Krishna and he would never listen, he would just keep playing. So in order to get him to eat, they would send a demon, and then Krishna would be a little hungry after killing the demon, so takes a little work, so you can work up an appetite. So this one demon, his name was Arista, and he was big. Out of all of the demons in the entourage of Kamsa, Arista and Keshi were the most powerful of all the demons. Arista was huge, he was a bull, and it says, when he came into the area of Vrindavan, he was so big that his tail was touching the clouds. And when he walked, the entire ground shook, so much so that any lady who was pregnant and any cow that was pregnant would have miscarriages immediately. So he was so powerful, and just by walking, the whole ground would tremble like an earthquake. And so he came to the area of Vrindavan. And then he was looking for Krishna. Krishna was one of his friends, and Krishna had his arm on his friend's shoulder, and he was twirling a lotus flower with the other hand. And they were just kind of like relaxing and just talking about what's going on in Ljubljana, you know. No, not really. You know, kind of just nice, friendly conversation. And then this demon, he saw Krishna, so he decided to make his move. And so he was on the run, and he started to gallop, and that even created a greater turmoil in the ground. And Krishna saw him coming. He just put his lotus flower in his ear. And then when the demon got close, Krishna grabbed him by the horns and spun him around and threw him about 14 meters away, I think it was, yeah. Which is not so far. But anyway. And then the demon went bouncing around. Now, Prabhupada gives an interesting statement. He says, Krishna, he's expert at everything. He knows everything. So how do you subdue a bull? You grab him by the horns. Once you grab them by the horns, then you got the bull. And then if you're strong enough, you can subdue the bull. So Krishna knew that art, so he grabbed him by the horns and threw him. But Arista wasn't done, so he wanted to make his second attempt. So he came even faster and more angry. And this time Krishna spun him around and then threw him on the ground, and it says what he started kicking him with his lotus feet like a dobiwala. You know what a dobiwala is. Is one person who washes your clothes in India. You know, sometimes when you give your clothes in India for washing, they throw it in a bucket and kick it with their feet. And that's how they wash your clothes. They step on them, that way it gets all the dirt out. So Krishna, like a very enthusiastic dobiwala, was just kicking this demon. And he just kicked him until he was finished. And then he threw him away, this time farther to get him out of the way. So the demon was killed, and it was kind of like, for Krishna, it was just like routine. And so that night, Krishna went to meet Radharani. So Radharani, he said to Radharani, you know, I've come. She said, stay away from me. He said, why? You are polluted. You have killed a male cow. Cow killer. Therefore, you have to go bathing in all the holy places all over to get rid of your sin of killing the bull. Krishna said, why should I leave Vrindavan? So he decided to call all the holy places to Vrindavan. So before he did that, he took the heel of his right foot and started hitting it into the ground, and he made a hole, pretty big hole. And then he called in his mind all the holy places, and the personification of all the holy places in their personal forms brought their waters and filled up this kund. And then Krishna took bath in it, came out, and that's now known as Shyamakund. So then Krishna said to Radharani, now you are also polluted because you took sides with a demon. So you should bathe also. And Radharani said, I'm not bathing in your kund, it's full of sin. So she said, I'm going to make my own kund. So her and all her gopi friends, there were hundreds of them, maybe thousands, they started in digging with their bangles. They took off their, there wasn't plastic, it was metal, bangles, and making holes. And they made this big hole. Then they start bringing waters from Manasaganga, which is nearby, which was a huge kund. And they were carrying buckets and filling it up. But the holy rivers were still there. And they, the personification of the holy rivers came to Srimati Radharani and said, you know, we would like to serve you by entering into your kund. So Radharani said, No problem. And so these waters entered, and then Radharani took her bath there, and that became Radhakund. In time, as time went on, all the holy places in the area were lost, had been covered over by, when we say time, and no one really knew about the different places of Krishna's pastime for actually for a long time. Finally, after some time, one great king appeared in Mathura who was actually related to Krishna, because Krishna had so many sons, and each of the sons had 10 sons. So it was one grandson of Krishna named Brajanath. And Brajanath was very enthusiastic to uplift and to uncover all the holy places of pilgrimage that were there. And he did a lot. Finally, after some time, we go fast forward to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, he went to many of the holy places that had been found by Brajanath. At one point, he was walking, and he saw within his paddy field a little pond. Just a small pond mixed in with so many reeds and paddies of rice. And Lord Chaitanya just started to walk over and take his bath in this little tiny pond. Everybody was with him, were thinking, what is he doing? Why is he bathing in that little pond? Later on, Lord Chaitanya said, that is Radhakund. So, Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the associates of the of Lord Chaitanya, he made his service to bring back Radhakund and Shyamakund. And so he did, to a certain degree. But then again, it was just these two ponds. And when you looked at them, they were all crooked and really needed a lot of work. So Raghunath Das Goswami was thinking, these are the most holy places on the planet. They're not very nicely done. I wish I had some money so I could hire some persons to... But then he thought, what am I thinking about money? I'm a sannyasi. This is not good. So he gave up the idea. Right after that, one person went traveling, who goes traveling every year, and he goes to Badrinath to see one beautiful deity of Narayan called Badri Vishal. So he arrived at his regular time during the year, and it was late at night, so he took rest. When he took rest, he had a dream, and in the dream, Badri Vatsal, his worshipful deity, came to him and said, the money you have brought for me, don't bring it here, bring it to Vrindavan and give it to Raghunath Das Goswami. Wow. He doesn't know who Raghunath Das Goswami is. He's in Badrinath. Badrinath from Vrindavan is how far? Ooh. At least 1,000 miles, maybe more. So he's, and then of course, finally, again, the next night he had a second dream, and this time Badri explained that, yeah, there will be one sadhu. His name is Raghunath Das Goswami. When you go to Vrindavan, you just ask, and you will be directed. So he did. He took all the big amount of wealth he was going to give to Badri Vatsal, brought it to Vrindavan, and found Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami graciously accepted the money, hired some excavators, and then they made Shyamakund and Radhakund very nicely. But there was still some little difficulty, because on the bank of Shyamakund there were 5 trees. And that night, Raghunath Das Goswami went to sleep, and in the dream, he had a dream, and Yudhisthira Maharaj appeared to him in the dream and said, myself and my 4 brothers, we are these 5 trees. Please don't cut us down. And so he stopped the excavators from cutting down the trees, and they remained there. That's why Shyamakund, even to this day, is crooked. But those trees are no longer there, because after some time they disappeared and went back to the spiritual world. They manifested their spiritual leelas. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was doing his bhajan regularly on the banks of Radhakund. But one thing was bothering his mind so much. He kept seeing that the pilgrims were coming and they were using the waters of Radhakund for washing their bowls and plates, for washing their laundry, for washing their, brushing their teeth. And he became very upset. So he thought, I have to do something. So he decided to build a well so people could use that well for washing. So he started to have the excavators dig, and he was also there. At one point, there was a rock, and then they hit the rock with a tool, and when they did, the rock started to bleed. Real blood coming out of a rock. Raghunath Das Goswami became a little shocked and said we should stop. So they stopped, and that night he had another dream, and in the dream Govardhan said, you have hit my tongue. So please repair my tongue, but also build a little temple there. And you can see, right, if you go in a certain place on the bank there near Shamakund, I think, there is this little mandir that was built by, or had been built by Raghunath Das Goswami there to honor the tongue of Govardhan. The tongue of Govardhan. And so, yeah. So, and of course, we devotees go today to Radhakund and Shamakund to take holy bath like that, as we mentioned. So today is the day, at least according to the mistaken calendar, but anyway, we're fine. Because we can speak about this pastime anytime and it's always appropriate. It doesn't have to be according to the time. So this is a very sweet pastime, like that. And Radhakund is the topmost place in all of the planet for spiritual attainment. It's non-different than Srimati Radharani, like that. On the banks of Radhakund, you'll also find, of course, even today, Raghunath Das Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. If you went there, you'll notice that you'll know that they do constant kirtan, 24 hours. They've been doing it for, I don't know, how many decades. The kirtan doesn't stop. It goes on constantly throughout the night. Sometimes there's only one or two Babaji's just singing, but it'll go on and on throughout every day. So there is a Samadhi Mandir of Raghunath Das Goswami. There is also the Janava Baitaka. Baitaka means bathing place. There is a little set of stairs inside of a little enclosure. You go in and you go down. And that's where Janava Devi also used to come and take her bath in Radhakund. And she would actually come to meet Raghunath Das Goswami because she had heard about this most exalted personality. And so that's there. You can also see that like that. So I think that's the only two places that I'm aware of. There's little mandirs around there. I was there 2 years ago, and there was a mandir also in the area of Radhakund, where you go and there was a deity there. I can't remember the deity's name, but that came up much later. So this is a little bit about Radhakund and Shamakund, like that. Now there's a place in between these two kunds called Gora. Gorakund, and that is because Radharani and Krishna together make Lord Chaitanya. So in between these two, there's like a little walkway that connects both of these bathing ghats. And you can, in that walkway, there is also a little tiny structure, and that is called Gorakund, like that, the place between the two kunds, like that. So Jai Shri Shri Radharani Ki Jai, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Shri Panchatattva ki jai, Shri Krishna ki jai. Shri Krishna, the killer of Vistasura ki jai. Anybody would like to say anything? Or something? Okay, don't all talk at once. Thank you. Okay, thank you. So we'll see you when we will see you. Asila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Radha Kund ki jai, Bahulastami ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hivo. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Vo. Sri Panchatattva looks so invitingly they have such very attractive dresses and outfits. Very, very colorful, very, very attractive. Simply by meditating on the form of the Lord, that is considered to be bhakti. We take darshan. Darshan means absorbing our consciousness in the transcendental form of the Lord. Panchatattva makam krishnam bhakti rupa sarupakam bhakti avataram bhakta kyam namami bhakta shaktikam. Thank you. Hare Krishna.